warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Yes, indeed. This is the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Raise your glass. Raise your glass.
Felt like three. Are you trying to get a chant going?
Felt like three times okay. was just accurate. I'm Adam Minahan. I'm sitting here with David Niles. We're in the studio today. Dave, we have a special guest with us.
Indeed. Mr. Taylor Marshall.
No, not Marshall.
I'm sorry.
No. Dr. Taylor Marshall would not be...
You're right.
That is not...
Taylor Schroll.
Schroll. From Forte Catholic.
Dude, I was just watching something by Dr. Taylor Marshall. Taylor. And...
See, I wasn't sure after the intro, it kind of scared me away. I wasn't sure if I'm actually manly enough to come on this show. And then you called me Taylor Marshall, so I'm just going to leave. Y'all have a good night.
Oh, that's a good way to start the show, though.
Yeah, it's a good way.
Because then you start off on such a low bar.
And then
you rise as the show goes on.
That's right. Some people ask us all the time, do you really, just hit record and go?
And not edit anything?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Here's the proof. Yeah. So anyway, Taylor, it's so great to have you on. I'm so pumped to have you. This is going to be an awesome episode. If you guys don't know, Taylor... Go check out his website, fortecatholic.com. He has a show called Forte Catholic. It's on Red Sea Radio. We have ties to Taylor because he's on Red Sea Radio, which is in Texas A&M, which is where our bishop is from.
David Condrilla came from Texas A&M.
Yes. So we had a chance to meet all the guys at Red Sea Radio, Thaddeus and Dennis. And was there anybody else? Thaddeus and Dennis, anybody else?
Well, his son... was there.
Oh, yeah, Dennis's son.
I don't remember his son's name.
Recall.
His son is a seminarian.
Yeah. Anyway, we had a chance to meet those guys. Great guys. Doing great work down in Texas. And we were able to get in touch with Taylor kind of via that. And also social media, because social media, you can connect with basically anybody.
Yeah.
So, Taylor, thank you so much for carving out time to hang out with us today.
No, thanks for having me. I've been listening to y'all's show for a few months now, and it's exciting to be on the show with you guys, and I'm hoping that I can be somewhat as good as some of these other great guests you've had on.
Well, we were actually honored to be on your show.
Yes.
A couple months, maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
It was sometime in the past.
Sometime in the past.
At some point.
Talking about...
It wasn't in the future. That would be difficult.
No, yeah.
No. So, talking about things manly, which is what we do every show. But speaking of which, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, Dave... Let them know what we do.
We do three things on the Catholic Man Show. The first thing we do is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Today, we'll be enjoying a mixed drink, which we don't do very often.
No, I think we've only done maybe three mixed drinks ever.
Have we done three? Anyway, that's the first thing we do, manly beverage. Thing that we do number two is highlight a man gear of some kind. It's the stuff that every dude should have or probably wants if they don't have it.
Like flamethrowers. Yeah.
Why did you have to remind me that just like...
I have three in my pocket.
Wow. That is impressive. It's incredible.
I still want one. You just crushed me.
I'm sorry.
It's Texas. You can't mess with us here. We have all the gun laws and flamethrowers, our pocket laws you can ask for.
Man, that's true. Texas does have a lot of the best freedom laws.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma, we're pretty good with our gun laws. We've got all kinds of awesome laws. As far as guns
or lack thereof.
Yeah, or lack thereof. But when it comes to liquor, we really are... We're way down the list.
Beer and liquor,
we're
yeah.
close
okay,
to
but
last.
The third
then
thing.
The third thing we do is we have a manly discussion on a topic very often a virtue, but just manly stuff.
Right.
And it's all from a man's perspective, of course, because this is a Catholic man show.
A Catholic man's perspective.
And we're men, and we're Catholic, and so that's what we do.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, Taylor, before we get into the drink, I need to do a couple things real fast. One, the Grumpy Dad blog just wrote an awesome review of us, the Catholic Man Show.
Yes.
Go check him out. Rich Lamb is his name. He does the Grumpy Dad blog. Wrote an awesome review of us. Go check it out, because he does a lot of really cool things, has a lot of really good posts, a lot of good blogs.
Yeah, and is a funny blogger.
Yeah, he is a really funny blogger.
Very Grumpy Dad, honest about his dad status.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, really good blog. Go check him out. Also, really fast, we need to push the camping trip. We only have maybe like 10 spots left.
And the camping trip.
It's coming up. Guys, if you have never been to the Clear Creek Abbey, I'm sure you possibly have heard of it because it's well known. But the Clear Creek Monastery, some Benedictine Benedictine monks.
Did you say nuts? Like a
I
combination
said nuns.
Of
nuns. Okay. It's like nuns and monks when they hang out together.
Monks.
You call
right.
them nuns.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. So they're gonna let us go camp on their like I think it's like 120 acres.
They have
or...
a 1 square mile. It's it's
whatever that
is. I think it's 1,000 acres.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. I think
they
I was
just
way
are you sure it's not a circle mile? It's a circle.
Because it's a circle.
Okay. But anyway, it's going to be October 19th through the 22nd. You can sign up. We only are taking 40 guys. I think we only have about 10 spots left. We have guys coming from California, Alabama, Massachusetts, Texas, Arizona, all over the country. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys coming, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, sign up or shoot us an email or something. Get in contact with us if you're interested. Okay,
it is going to be awesome. I mean, we're going to be doing like morning and evening prayer with the monks if you want to. I mean, we're just going out there to camp, and there's all this stuff available to us.
Right.
You know,
we're going to do a live
recording. You have the opportunity to have a meal with the monks, which they do in silence, and while one of them chants a book. Which is
a lot of really cool things.
And the food they eat is all grown there on their, or almost all of it, you know.
Yeah.
They make their own cheese.
Sounds like you're listening to Audible while you're eating dinner. I do that all the time.
Yeah, kind of, except
they chant it.
Yeah, they chant. Like, I was there and they were reading some history book on Abraham Lincoln. And it was just really funny to listen to a monk chant about, like...
Abraham Lincoln.
And then Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And they all did celebrate. And there was much rejoicing. It's just like, that's not really what they said, but it's like...
When you said a dinner with monks and a monk chanting, I did not picture it being hilarious. That sounds like the funniest dinner party
I've
ever
been to. And they're in silence, and so I'm sitting there like, you know, like trying not to laugh for like the first 3 minutes.
Laughs.
And, you know, I'm sitting next to this other guy that I'd kind of become friends with who had eaten dinner many times, and he's looking at me like going, like shaking his head going, don't laugh, dude. This is not a funny time. It's like, okay,
we got to get into the man. We got to get in the man drink because we're running low on time already.
Okay. So because we need to have a discussion.
Yeah,
about
we need
it.
To have a discussion about this because Taylor, I'm gonna let you introduce the man drink because you were the one who suggested it. So, take it away.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys and for your audience because mainly to settle a debate that we had. I went out with two ladies that I work with in ministry, and I ordered a tequila sunrise, and they made fun of me because they said it was a girly drink, and I'm this big, burly man ordering this quote-unquote girly drink. So it's tequila, orange juice, and grenadine. So is tequila manly?
Yes. Tequila is definitely manly.
Is orange juice manly?
Oh, it's sure. I mean, it's certainly not manly.
Right.
Right. I'd say it's neutral.
It's
is grenadine
neutral.
Manly?
That's going to be the if you
question mark in the equation.
I'm going to give it a neutral.
Right. So I think that's the only like linchpin in this whole thing because grenadine is used in Shirley Temples and Shirley Temple is a female. So but if you put all these things together, it's a splash of grenadine, so a little splash of possibly girly. But, I mean, if you drink tequila, it'll put some hair on your chest, right?
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think? Y'all are sitting over there sipping it right now. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a manly enough drink, or am I kicked off the show?
No, I think it's a manly drink. I mean, if you want to, if you put it on a scale, manly mm-hmm. versus girly. There's a lot more. I think there's more on the manly side than the girly side.
Well, and really, we've talked about this a lot about before. It's like, it's really what you enjoy.
Yeah.
So if this is something you enjoy, you should order it.
Right.
You know, here's kind of my take on it. If I was like on my honeymoon, we went to Cabo. I ordered a tequila sunrise because we were at Cabo or Playa. I think it was Playa del Carmen actually. We were at Playa and like it just felt right. Like that was a good time to do it. I wouldn't say that I would normally order. That wouldn't be on my top order list, but it's definitely something that I would order on specific occasions.
Yeah, in the right atmosphere. For instance, similar story to that, on my honeymoon, we went to Costa Rica, and we ordered piña coladas all day long.
Right. I mean, it's not something that you'd order on
the reg. It was an all-inclusive place, and so it's whatever you wanted. It was just free.
Right.
Kind of. You already paid for it. But
right.
We ate that all day, you know, and also the pineapple was just ridiculous. But typically, if you have fruit in your drink, that's a number one sign that's considered a girly drink.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is or isn't, it's considered. And there was fruit in that drink, and I was drinking it all the time.
Okay, what are your thoughts? We have like 30 seconds before we go to break. What are your thoughts, Taylor?
I did notice that both of you only drink tequila sunrises when you're out of the country and away from all of your friends that might possibly judge you, so that doesn't give me too much confidence. But if you, if this isn't manly enough for you, I am a true son of Texas. Just drink tequila straight. It's so much fun. Check it out.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay. I'm not hating on tequila sunrises. I'm not doing that. I'm not hating on it. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're here with Taylor Schroll from Forte Catholic. I'm Adam Minahan. Sitting here with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
So raise your glass.
Boom.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is the Catholic Man Show. On today's episode, we have the one and only Adam Minahan. We're joined our guest, Mr. Taylor Schroll, a.k.a. Mr. Marshall. And then last but not least, as though one unnaturally born, there's myself, David Niles.
David Stiles.
Well played, David Stiles.
You'll know him by his older brother, Harry.
Yes. Yeah.
I just want to say something, though, before we get going. Men, someday you are going to die. Are you ready?
That's what you're going
to
say?
That's all I want to say.
Okay.
What? Where did that come from?
I just was thinking about it earlier.
And I don't know, but I'm really glad you said it because it gives me an awesome story that I have to tell really fast.
Okay. Sweet.
So, you know, one of the Benedictine rules is remember your death every day.
Yeah.
You know, to contemplate your death every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of been like saying that to my family every once in a while, you know, like, hey, remember, we're going to die. You know, like, you know, just kind of like randomly.
Daddy?
Yeah. And so this weekend, my 4-year-old Luke, he's like learning to swim without his life jacket at all.
Okay.
And so I was talking to him, and I said, hey, let's take your life jacket off so we can swim. And he goes, Dad, I don't want to die. I go, okay. I thought maybe it'd be best for me to kind of pump the brakes on the Benedictine rules for a little bit.
I don't think they were written for 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe start worrying about that principle once you can even go to confession.
Yeah.
You know. Jude,
you
may be 3, but you're gonna die someday.
Yeah. Okay, I'm really sorry. Okay, so hey, if you guys have not checked out Forte Catholic, go to iTunes. When is your show on Red Sea Radio, like for those that are in Texas right now?
It is live on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. on Red Sea Radio. You can listen to it in one of Central Texas. You can always listen online, redsearadio.org. And the best episode I've ever had, this is on a podcast too, best episode I've ever had, episode 29, with the two gentlemen that you're also listening to here from the Catholic Man Show.
All right.
So it's great to be here. Yeah.
And we didn't even pay him to say that.
No, we didn't. We haven't. We weren't going to pay him.
Not a lot.
At all. Taylor, as I'm sitting here drinking this tequila sunrise, it also, one thing I like about it is that it's a beautiful drink. Like, it looks beautiful. It's a nice.
It really is, especially
nice
if you just like splash the grenadine in and don't mix the grenadine in and just kind of like watch it stir into the orange juice. It's great.
Yeah, that's what Adam did. I did stir mine in, not intentionally,
but he just did.
I was rather rough with the mixing. Anyway,
but to say, how do you accidentally stir something?
Yeah, I just.
What have I done?
Yeah.
Okay, we're digressing. So here's what we're gonna do, Taylor. We asked you to come on for a specific reason. We wanted to talk about what you do really basically for a living, which will kind of bleed into our man gear, which is what we do on this segment. So why don't you kind of lay the baseline and we'll pick up?
Yeah, so I've worked in youth ministry for about 10 years. I work now for a missionary youth ministry organization called Ablaze Ministries, where we serve young people. We train youth ministers. That's actually my job. I oversee two parishes. Two parish youth ministries, train, mentor, oversee the young people that are doing the ministry there. And so I, one of the big reasons that the big topic that we wanted to talk about is the importance of youth ministry, and even more importantly for y'all's show, the importance of men in the faith lives of their own children and the lives of the young people at the church.
Boom.
Awesome.
Okay, so what is our man gear?
So our man gear is something that you probably already own. It's called a smartphone. So I am a millennial. I am bald, so people don't think I'm a millennial, but I'm actually just 27 years old. I look like I'm 46. So what I like doing, and now like a lot of iPhones and stuff are water resistant, but I've been saying for many years, I want you to baptize your iPhone. Now what is it? And, okay, maybe you have a Google phone. I apologize. Get an iPhone, then you'll know what I'm talking about. So. The church forever. So, Adam, whenever you are baptized, you went from what to what?
Oh, I went from just a creation of God to I became a son of God.
Yeah, sure. How I would have said it about you in particular is that you were extreme heathen, and now you're just kind of a heathen. But
yeah.
But you get the point, right?
Yes.
So
that's correct.
So
both
yeah,
A and B, C, all of the.
I don't
above.
Know why I'm picking on you. You got my name right. But David, you're next. All right.
I was bestowing on you an honorary doctorate.
From what university, David?
By the authority invested in me. Whatever that is.
I now have an honorary doctorate from David Niles through the University of Phoenix.
Not,
I really do appreciate that.
I'm not familiar with the University of David. It's like, I'm the only one.
David.
Yeah, it's pretty exclusive, okay?
So we're on our, at least millennials and young people and maybe even some of the people that listen in are constantly on our phones, whether for work or for play or leisure or whatever. And there are so many great things that this phone can do, and there are obviously some bad things that this phone can do. So let's baptize it. Let's take something either that can lead to sin or something that's just neutral and help it to lead us to God, right? So there's a couple of apps in particular that have really helped me grow in my faith life. And the number one is the YouVersion Bible app. It's the most widely used Bible app in the whole world, just millions and millions of downloads. And what I really like about it is that it reminds me to do my Bible study. So you can sign up for all these different Bible plans. I actually just finished one on manliness. Growing as a husband and a father, that sort of thing.
Very
cool.
You can
set a timer. Yeah, so like I am a millennial, so I don't like waking up early. So I pray at night. That's kind of my thing. So I can set an alarm to remind me to do my Bible study at night, and it's real helpful.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. And I'll tell you, I have not heard of that. So
yeah, I don't have that
it's
app.
It's the U.
But I'm not a millennial. I'm Gen X.
No, you're not. You're a millennial.
Oh, I think I am actually.
You are.
Because it's 1985 that.
I don't know what it is.
Gen
I just
X.
Know that you and
no,
I are.
No one is quite sure.
Right. And I feel like it gets bigger. Like more and more people can include themselves in the millennial generation all the time.
Really? Like, I feel like the opposite.
People
are like trying to get away from
I feel like.
The people are on the fence.
A lot of people view millennials as like a victim class. And so if you can say, like,
which
oh,
is really
I'm
funny
a millennial.
Because people will come. people complain on their phones about millennials made that phone was made by a millennial. So
yeah,
whatever.
For millennials.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me again what it was the name of that app.
YouVersion, YOUVERSION, the YouVersion Bible app. It has it's for like all denominations, but there are Catholic versions of the Bible in it. Like I have the NABRE, which the NAB is what we use at Mass, which yeah. the translation has the RSV. It has the Douay Rheims. If for some reason you like Old English and Catholic, you can do that as well.
Yeah.
But like the best thing that I like about it is that it's easy to read, it's easy to pick up, but they have these Bible reading plans. You can go in, you can search by whatever you're struggling with or whatever you want to grow in. It's like, oh, maybe I want to grow in my personal prayer. Maybe I want to grow as a man. Maybe I want to grow in my struggle with lust or whatever. And there are Bible study plans that are just made for you already that you can go and go through every day. And it's absolutely fantastic.
Okay. So I like that app. What's the next one?
All right. The next one's called the iBreviary. So have y'all talked about the breviary before on the show? Y'all talked mm-hmm. about night prayer and morning prayer going on your camping trip, right?
Yes. And the iBreviary is, we're big fans.
Yes. Big fans.
Okay. So yeah. So have y'all talked about it before on the show? They already know what's happening.
It's been a long time.
So okay. You can refresh.
Yeah, so basically, like, I had never done the Liturgy Hours until I was in college. I had never even heard about it before. And I was like, okay, this is something that I want to do. And I was actually watching a TV show. Did y'all ever watch Lost?
No,
I only watched a few episodes. My dad was way big into it.
I absolutely loved it. And there was a character in there who was Muslim. And in the show, it showed him... And he was in a Muslim city, and the bells started ringing, and everybody stopped, and they just stopped, and they knelt and prayed. And I was like, this is really interesting, because I was binge-watching this show on Netflix right after my finals in college, and I hadn't prayed in like 4 days. So God was using this secular TV show with a Muslim character to be like, hey, you should pray more.
Nice.
He moves in mysterious ways.
No doubt.
He definitely does.
But like... Catholics actually have something similar to our Muslims, right? We have these times where people stop and pray morning, evening, all the way through, right? And it's for me, the breviary is really helpful, and I love having it on my phone because I can just kind of pick it up if I'm sitting somewhere, like dropping my kids off at school, or if I'm sitting in the office in the evening and I'm want to pray. But the biggest thing for me is I get so distracted during prayer. So to have something guiding me is extremely helpful, and that's why I love going through the breviary.
Yeah, I totally agree. And iBreviary is definitely the easiest way to pray, the liturgy of the hours.
For sure.
Okay, we just got about a minute left. What's the third one?
All right, the last one that I'll talk about is this new one that I have called PrayerMate. It's a pretty new app, and what it does is it takes a little bit of setup at the beginning, but you can set, like, on certain days what you want to pray about. So, like, on Monday, you can say, I want to pray for my kids. On Tuesday, I'm going to pray for my wife. On Wednesday, I'm going to pray for the people I work with. On Thursday, I'm going to pray for my friends or whatever. However you want to set up your prayer for the week, you can put these intentions in, and it'll come through every week, and you can, like, kind of check them off as you go to make sure that you're praying for everybody and everything that you want to be praying for. So that's a new one for me, but I just dove into it. I'm really enjoying that as well. But
I like that.
The overarching thing, baptize the phone, get close to God even when you're on your smartphone.
Bringing the cyclicality of life to your prayer sounds like a very Catholic thing to do. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. We have to take our second break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So
raise your glass.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. Raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles, and we are talking with Taylor from Forte Catholic, fortecatholic.com, Forte Catholic Podcast, Forte Catholic Radio Show, Forte Catholic. That's what we're doing.
Forte Catholic Underwear, forte cat.
Dude, that would be cool. You would have to send us some if that was the case.
Yeah. I don't know why I liked that idea so much.
A little weird that we liked that, that we responded really well to that.
I was thinking, like, dude, we should have made our own underwear. Yeah. Like, that's a great idea. Could be made out of Kevlar.
So the mandrake today was a tequila sunrise.
Bulletproof underwear.
The man gear was baptizing your phone. That is what it is.
Go ahead, shoot me. I promise I'll be okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so
famous last word.
Yeah. So our topic today is going to be evangelizing the youths.
The youths.
The youths of America. And I guess the world. But Taylor is
I'm pretty sure youth is already plural, just so you know.
I was just saying that as a joke. That was a joke.
Oh, that was super funny.
I love deers. Deers are my favorite.
Deers.
Mooses.
Meese. It's actually meese.
Meese.
Oh, my
Moose,
bad.
Meese.
Yeah.
Meese.
So Taylor, you are a youth minister. Here's my first question about like evangelizing the next generation. True or false? We do not push or challenge the next generation to what they are capable of.
In most cases, true.
I really feel that way. I feel like that, you know, the youth of our next generation is, you know, there's so many young saints in our church. The Catholic Church has provided so many young saints to model ourselves out after. And I think that we undermine just because of age, you know, just because, oh, well, they're young, they can't understand the hypostatic union or, you know, whatever, which I think also could be a false premise.
Yeah, they might understand it better than an adult. Who
right.
knows?
But I just think that we don't, we kind of like write them off way too much. What are your thoughts? I mean, Taylor, you deal with this day in and day out. You deal with these. Do you feel like that we kind of write that off too much?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One of the big ones is like every time I think of young people and like not given a place or not given or not challenged enough or not really brought into the fold of the church, I think of, as you mentioned, some of the great saints. Like one of my favorite gospel is the Gospel of John. And when John was picked as apostle, he was the age of kids in our high school youth groups. Like he was the one who was closest to Jesus' heart, who understood the most, who laid on him in the Last Supper. And young people have so much potential. And I think, sadly, what's happening a lot with our young people, and one of the things that I want to talk about today, is that young people's faith looks a lot like the faith of their parents. And the last generation just was so disserved by the church in the 70s and 80s and just – like the parents of like my parents' generation and the parents of the kids that we are serving now, the young people we're serving now, just were under catechized and faith wasn't made to be an important thing then. And now we're really and truly seeing the effects of that now in the lives of our young people.
Totally. Man, I think that's so true because you're right. The, you know, faith is something that has to be passed down. It's not something that you just kind of wake up one day and
have. It's a gift. Faith is a gift.
Right. Yeah. But it has to be delivered. You know,
mm-hmm.
There are people who are on an island all by themselves don't come to know the Catholic faith. So it has to be delivered and it's really the parents' job to deliver it. And so if they don't have it, you cannot give what you do not have. And so if the parents don't have it, then that is going to make your job as a youth minister way more difficult to almost impossible in some cases, I would imagine. Do you ever feel that way?
No, absolutely. Like one of the hardest jobs as a youth minister is we are trying to help and equip parents. And we actually have our ministry has a resource for parents called Beyond the Pew, beyondthepew.org. It's a weekly like video vlog that comes out 3 to 5 minutes every week to help parents with their young teens because we have seen this. It's like, well, parents just are struggling with their own faith and it's hard to give what you don't have, right? And well, we often see that It's like if we see a kid struggling with their faith, and then we meet the parents, and we're like, oh, like it makes sense. And we're not mad at the parents, but the biggest thing that struggle is the struggle for us is that parents are the number one catechist. I think I heard y'all say that on your show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The number one job of a parent, and they are the primary catechist. And youth ministry, we're just supposed to be an assistant in that. But if the parents aren't catechists, so often we're the only catechists in their lives, right? So we have these resources try to help parents to be catechists. But so often, like, it kind of feels like their whole, like, religious education and, like, obviously in salvation is up to Jesus. But, like, leading them to that, it kind of sometimes feels like that's all on our shoulders. So if you want to help your youth minister, if you want to help your youth grow in their faith, the biggest thing that you can do is model your faith for them. And that doesn't mean you have to be the holiest person in the world. It doesn't mean you have to be a theologian. It just means that your kids need to see you striving for holiness, striving to be a better Catholic, a better person, striving to know a little bit more and to grow with them.
And that was beyondthepew.org, correct?
Yeah, beyondthepew.org.
I just wanted to make sure.
It's about taking the faith home. Like, you know, a lot of people come and sit in the pews, and there's like it's a struggle because of our busy lives and work and family life and all these other things. It's hard to take it beyond the pew, to take it outside of the church, and we just wanted to be able to help with that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So, Taylor, one thing that I've always wondered about youth ministry, but, I've never been a youth minister. I haven't studied this area, if they've done research on this, so let me get your feedback on this. Because my impression is that a lot of youth ministers think we need to make everything fun. If it's not fun, the kids won't like to do it. And so they don't do things like, let's take the kids to adoration. They don't do things like maybe we could all pray a rosary together. Do you think, is that true? Is it difficult to get kids to like go to adoration, or do you find that they will and enjoy going just as much as adults who go to adoration do? What's your experience been? Do you sense what I'm trying to ask? I feel like I'm not articulating it well, but maybe you get it.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. I think there's two questions in there. The first one being about what should youth ministry look like, right? Because I think there are a lot of youth ministries that try to be flashy and try to have amazing music and lights and all these kinds of things and to make it fun. And there's when it comes down to the end of the day, like kids enjoy being there, but they actually don't stick around. The numbers don't lie. They don't stick around. Because if the church or youth ministry just becomes entertainment, there are places to find better entertainment than the church.
That's exactly what
Netflix,
I was thinking. You said exactly my thoughts.
Yeah, so there are better places. Now, like when we hold youth ministry events, we do want them to be fun. We do want them to be a place where kids can come. But if you don't get into the meat of the faith, like kids are coming to church because their parents are making them, and they're still kind of interested, or they actually come to church because this is the one time all week that they're actually like, you know what? I'm going to give this hour to God. I'm going to try to figure things out. Is God real? Can I figure these things out? What does God say about my work, about my life, about that thing I did wrong the other day? They really want real answers. So sometimes the fun stuff is an avenue, a gateway into the real meat.
Okay, so there's a lot of guys listening right now who have, either sons or daughters about the age of probably who they would be taking them to go see you, the youth minister. Let's say that the son or daughter is sitting there going, I don't want to go, I don't like to go, I don't want to do this, but you're making me, so I guess I have to go. What do you say to the dad who's having to fight this battle to try to get them to go every week or month or however often you meet? And what do you do for those kids? And what do you do for the kids?
what I'll tell you is just the brief version of my story. My mom had to drag me to church. I absolutely hated it. I did not like being Catholic. I thought the mass was boring. I said, really, we've been at this for 2,000 years and we can't change anything up? Like, come on, it's been another week. We need to have something fresh here, right? I was bored at RE. I was bored at youth group. And my mom continued to to push me to go, right? And she did give me some freedom. She let me attend Protestant services. She made me go to 8 a.m. Mass on those days, and I already said I don't like waking up early. But she gave me some leeway, because when they become teenagers, you're trying to form them into the adults that they're going to be, and when they're not in your care in a few years, you know? But being able to have, like, those conversations with them and to still push them, because, like, when you – one of the things I just mentioned on the Beyond the Pew a couple of weeks ago is whenever they start arguing with you, pull out your vows that you took at your kid's baptism, because you promised before God and man that you would get them at least through the end of their sacraments. And most dioceses, confirmation happens in high school. So at least until then, you are obliged to your heavenly Father to make that kid, that grumpy kid, go. And I got dragged and dragged and dragged. And now I'm in Catholic youth ministry, and I'm doing my best to be a Catholic and all these things. So keep pushing.
Tough to argue with that strategy.
I agree.
All right, well, we got our last break coming up. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan and Taylor Schroll. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, in studio with Adam Minahan, joined via Google Hangouts with our man Taylor Schroll, a.k.a. Mr. Marshall. I'm just going to keep saying that.
You're going to brand him that.
Yeah.
You are just a brave, brave man when the larger man you're making fun of is a whole state away.
Yeah, well, exactly.
One day we're going to meet, sir.
I'll make future Dave worry about that.
Yeah.
Future Dave's a real sucker. He falls for everything. Anyway, we're talking about
ForteCatholic.com.
ForteCatholic.com is his website. He's also the host of the show Forte Catholic, which is produced by Red Sea Radio in, did you say Central Texas? Is that what you said? Middle Texas?
Yeah, Bryan, College Station, Waco, all these other little towns in the middle of Texas, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay. So, we're talking about youth ministry. Okay, and Taylor, one of the things I've noticed about our society is the abdication of responsibility. It happens across really many things. People no longer expect to have to educate their children, even from a secular standpoint. You know, they want to send their kids to public school and, hey, you teach them stuff. Also, it's kind of like you raise them. You teach them to be a good kid because, you know, I'm busy here at work. And the same thing kind of seems to be happening with religion. I mean, it kind of happens, you know, it's almost like the government is now responsible for raising our kids in all aspects of life.
We know the government's really good at stuff, so keep doing
right,
that.
Yeah. They have so many success stories to hang on their trophy wall. But anyway, before we go down that rabbit hole, that's like a whole other show. It seems like, especially men, like dads, they should be stepping up to the plate saying, hey, you're my son, you're my daughter, I am going to be the one to teach you these things. And there's something about religion that makes that role of the father especially important. Just between on the last break, you said you had some numbers that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, and even before we get into the numbers, I can just tell you from my experience. I shared in the last segment that I did not want to be Catholic anymore. The only like Catholic thing that still happened was my mom dragged me to 8 a.m. Mass. But I like considered myself non-denominational for 2 years when I was a young person, going to non-denominational worship service because it was more fun. It was where my friends were, and I actually really was encountering Jesus there. And that's a really interesting thing, a whole nother subject. I encountered Jesus there, got to know Jesus there, and then I found him in the Eucharist 2 years later. But, you know, I digress.
So right on.
Yeah, cool stuff. The numbers thing is really interesting. And I found this. The numbers are a little dated, but I think it's still just as true. And I've seen some updated numbers. I just couldn't find them. But here's the deal. It's a study that I did about young people's faith. And they said, if both the father and the mother attend church regularly, 33% of children will end up going to be regular church goers as well when they become adults. And 41% will end up attending mostly regularly. So if you do the math there, it's about 74% either go every week or a couple of times a month, right? Which is pretty average. It's not the ideal, but, you know, pretty average. So,
okay.
And here's the big shift, the big shift. If the father is irregular, an irregular churchgoer, I'm not talking about his bowels. If a father is an irregular churchgoer and the mother goes regularly, only 3% of the children will subsequently become regular churchgoers themselves.
Wow.
And even, yeah, it's, I mean, that's just staggering, right? I mean, that's, it goes from a third of regular churchgoers to 3%. And that, then yeah, even wow. further, 59% of those kids will become irregular churchgoers, and 38% of them will be lost to the church completely. So, like, I mean, we've been saying it for years. We've known it for years. We've seen it in the scriptures. We've seen it in the history of the church, how important a man's role in this is in the spiritual life of his family and the spiritual life of the young people in his community. And the numbers aren't lying. We're seeing the negative effects of this in our society today. It's just absolutely mind-blowing to me. I don't know what y'all's thoughts are whenever you hear numbers like that.
Well, it sounds to me that... If I'm hearing you right, statistically speaking, if Joseph had not been a practicing Jew, Jesus probably would have left the faith.
Absolutely, absolutely. He would have just been some dude, you know, doing magic and right. hurting people or something.
I can make a really good table. You want to? I mean, really nice. It's the best table you've ever seen.
Welcome to the Heresy Hour.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, one thing that an interesting stat, and I wish I could quote the source. But I just heard it on Catholic radio, because I listen to Catholic radio all the time, is that among these numbers, when the father was a practicing Catholic and the mother was not practicing, the numbers actually went up for the children maintaining their faith into adulthood. And I thought that was very interesting. It's almost like the witness of the father is so important that... When, in contrast, when they see, oh, dad is practicing, even in spite of mom, like, dad's faith is so important, even though mom doesn't practice, he still does. You know, it kind of makes this stark black and white comparison. That's mm-hmm. Just my own personal theory about why the numbers are that way. But that was just interesting that, according to this one study, that the numbers went up for adult participation in the faith when the dad practiced and the mom didn't. That just highlights the importance of dads being there and being that the rock
right.
for their kids and their wife.
No, I totally agree. And I think that that's also like a great segue into saying like men need to be more active in church roles.
Yes.
Thank God. And I've said this before. I don't know if I've said this on air, but I've said this before. Thank God for all the women in the church, because for whatever reason in the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, all of the Eucharistic ministers, and I'm generalizing, but mostly if you go to a mass in a Catholic church in the U.S., most Eucharistic ministers, most lectors, most ushers, most youth ministers, most whatever you want to say, are mostly women, are high percent women.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of rad trads, but that's a whole other topic too.
Oh, right, yeah. That's a whole other. But
it's heresy to them.
Yeah. But
welcome back to the heresy.
Yeah, exactly. But it goes to show, like, Taylor, let me ask you, how important is it to have men more involved in the youth ministry, forming these people who may not even have dads, you know, to look to. You know, a lot of these kids who are going to youth ministry are being forced to by their mom. You know, mom knows how important the faith is, so she's dragging these kids to, you know, youth ministry. And maybe they don't have a father to look to. Maybe Taylor is the father figure in some of these guys.
And I absolutely have been for some kids. And, like, obviously, like, that's been an amazing responsibility, and I've had great times sure. with those kids. But it's obviously not the ideal. We want the dads to be involved. But like you said, like, we have to look at the reality of the situation anyway. My hope and my prayer is that the guys listening to your show will be able to step up, not only in their own families, but to be able to step up to help in their local youth ministries. I can't tell you enough how much of a struggle it is. Over the last 10 years of when I ask for volunteers to come and help us out on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or whatever, how tough it is to get men to come and be a part of it. And I understand one of the things, that it's time, right? And most of the time, the men are the primary breadwinners. They have to go to work. You know, they're working Monday through Friday or even more, that sort of thing. But if that's the case, man, take care of your kids, take care of your family, help out with a youth ministry event or something like that. But I think the biggest thing that holds men back, number one, from helping in youth ministry, and number two, from being the spiritual leaders that God has called us to, is that we don't think we're holy enough. Is that we look at our wives, and I don't know about you guys, but I look at my wife, and I'm like, she's way holier than I am.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's like we want to like abdicate that and let wife, mom be the person that takes care of that. And I just want to tell you about one family. You might have heard of them. They're called the Holy Family. The least holy person in that family was Joseph.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One was God. The other was the mother of God, and she was sinless. Yet, whenever the family was in danger, who did God come to? He said, Joseph, take your family to Egypt. Take care of them. Right?
Yeah.
And so Joseph still was the spiritual leader of that family. He still took that role very seriously, even though he was the unholiest person in your family. Now, obviously, it's not the goal to be the unholiest person in your family, but you can still step up and be the person that says, hey, we need to go to church. Hey, we need to pray together. Hey, we shouldn't live life like this, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You can still be that leader in your family, in your community, even if you're not the holiest person or you have a terrible past or whatever. God can use you still to impact the life of young people in your community.
And it's the little things, too. It's when your kids complain about, I don't want to have to go to church this Sunday. Instead of just sitting there and letting your wife say, well, we're going to go to church, blah, blah, and letting her fight that battle, you need to be the one to step in and say, kids, we're going to church. End of discussion.
Right.
And don't you dare complain about this to your mom. If you have something, you can come to me about it, you know, because I'm the dad, I'm the man of this house, and you are going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love you.
Well, and I think also it's a deal, you know, man, we make sure that all of our boys are going to football practice or baseball practice. We make sure that all of our daughters are going to gymnastics or cheerleading or softball or whatever that is. But how often are we focused on making sure that our kids are going, you know, to the spiritual things that they need?
Yeah. And Taylor, I hear those excuses, you know, oh, I'm busy. I've got these other responsibilities. I just want to remind all the men out there that when you go before your judgment, all of those other things are going to be the stupidest excuses. Like, oh, I had to mow my yard. I couldn't volunteer at, you know, the yard was, the grass is getting long. I mean, that's it. The stupid idea. Your kid's salvation is more important than the grass.
Yep. Taylor, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. It's been so much fun. ForteCatholic.com. Thanks so much. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.